anda, kosha, saptabir dasa gunater anda kosha. Yatra, patati, anu, kalpa, yatra, patat, yanu, kalpa, sahanda, koti, kotabis, tad, ananta, sahanda koti koti bis tad ananta. Sityadi birecha kalavrita. Saptabir dasha gunottarer andakosha. Yatra pantantyanu kalpa sahanda koti koti bestadanta others. Matajis? Siti Adibi, by the ingredients of the material world, headed by earth, Esha, this, Kila, indeed, Avrita, covered, Saptabi, seven, Dasaguna Uttarai, each 10 times more than the previous one. Andakosha, egg-shaped universe. Yatra, in whom? Patanti.
Patanti.
False.
False.
Anukalpa.
Anukalpa.
Like a minute atom.
Like a minute atom.
Saha.
Saha.
With.
With.
Anukotikotibi.
Anukotikotibi.
Millions of such universes.
Millions of such
universes.
Tat.
Tat. Therefore.
Therefore.
Ananta. You are called
unlimited.
Translation. Every universe is covered by seven layers: earth, water, fire, air, sky, the total energy and false ego, each 10 times greater than the previous one. There are innumerable universes besides this one, and although they are unlimitedly large, they move about like atoms in you. Therefore, you are called unlimited Ananta. Responsible, please. Every universe is covered by seven layers.
Earth, water, fire.
Air, sky, the total energy.
And false ego.
Each 10 times greater than the previous one. There are innumerable universes besides this one. And although they are unlimitedly large, they move about like atoms in you. Therefore, you are called unlimited Ananta. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Brahma Samhita 548 says, Yasyaika nisvasita kalam atavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata Vishnur mahan sahya yasya kalavishesho govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The origin of the material creation is Mahavishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. While he sleeps in that ocean, millions of universes are generated as he exhales, and they are all annihilated when he inhales. This Mahavishnu is a plenary portion of Vishnu. Okay. Govinda. Yasya Kala Vishesha. The word Kala refers to a plenary portion of a plenary portion. From Govinda, from Krishna or Govinda comes Balaram. From Balaram comes Sankarshan. From Sankarshan, Narayan. From Narayan, the second Sankarshan. From the second Sankarshan, Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and from Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Shirodakshai Vishnu. Shirodakshai Vishnu controls every universe. Okay. This gives an idea of the meaning of Ananta Unlimited. What is to be said of the unlimited potency and the existence of the Lord? This verse describes the coverings of the universe. Saptabhir Dasa Gunotarar Andakosha. The first covering is earth, the second is water, the third is fire, the fourth is air, the fifth is sky, the sixth is the total material energy, and the seventh is the false ego. Beginning with the covering of earth, each covering is 10 times greater than the previous one. Thus, we can only imagine how great each universe is. And there are millions of universes, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:42. Atava bhunaitena kim gatena tivarjuna vistabhyahamidam krishnam ikangsena sito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The entire material world manifests only 1/4 of the Supreme Lord's energy. Therefore, he is called Ananta. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastha Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Pastatade Satarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivastri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I was born in the darkest of ignorance. And today is a very special day for that place that I was born into ignorance. It is October 31st. Does anyone know what that means in America? Halloween. Okay. Now, here it is described, there's a lot of layers covering our universe, and these same layers basically cover our soul also. So it's like here we are in the material world in a very strong jail. You can't, it's very difficult. Daviyesha gunamaya mama maya jiratya. Very difficult to get out of this place. I mean, it is so hard. To break out of the material world, not possible. It's just like the walls in this jail are very thick. And it's like you're in a jail, the universe, and then within that universe, you're inside a body. So you're in another jail. So you're in a jail within a jail. So talk about a difficult situation here. It's a horror movie, the material world. And some, I don't know, if they actually celebrate Halloween in other countries too? In Europe too? Okay, how about in Brazil? Okay. All right. Very interesting. How about in India? Who's from India here? I don't think so. Nah. That's why you say no in India. You go like this. So, this is a phenomena of the mode of ignorance. I don't know about the other countries in the world that they celebrate this day, but in America, one of the most... You're supposed to get some pleasure from fear. It's like, you know, everyone dresses up in all these scary costumes, and or you watch, you go to the movie theaters and you watch some very scary movie, and you're supposed to get pleasure from this. I just never could understand it myself. It's like, what? You mean they actually make money from producing these types of movies? People actually watch them? I would just like look away and just want to get out of there. It's just like horrendous. But we are in a horror movie in the material world. And there's some pastimes. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're horror movies. They could be made into very good horror movies. So this is actually one of them. Because here we hear about King Chitraketu. Now, how many wives did he have? Something like a million wives. Anyway, they could give a guy 10 wives in the movie, right? In the Kali Yuga, it's possible. There's a few people around on this planet today that have 10 wives, especially in a place called Utah in America. This is the Mormons. They believe in polygamy. And in America, polygamy is illegal. So they just say, okay, I'm married to one of them, and I have 9 girlfriends too. So that's legal. All right, that's very common, actually. Okay, so usually they do it on the sly, but in Utah you can get away with it. And all the other wives don't even care. They like it. So there's a movie with a guy that has, you know, 10 wives, and none of them can have a kid. It's just like, it's like terrible. And then finally, one of them gets pregnant. And what happens to the other 9 wives? They're envious. They ridicule this other wife. They shun the other co-wife. And then when the wife that has got pregnant has the baby, they poison the baby. And it's a pretty good movie, huh? First there's a romance, you know, a guy has 10 wives, and then there's intrigue, because only, you know, there's 10 wives and they can't get pregnant, and then all of a sudden one gets pregnant, and then there's all this planning between the other 9 wives. How are we going to, you know, this is not fair. You know, she's getting all the attention and we're not, from the husband, because she's pregnant. So we got to do something about this. So then they do this whole murder plot. Okay. And they feed a kid poison, and there it is, death. There's violence. That sells. So you got sex and you got violence. That's all you need for a good movie. All right, that'll get everyone's attention. No one's going to fall asleep in this movie. All right, like there's a few people sleeping in this class right now. I guess maybe I'm not scaring all of you enough. So, this Titukeitu pastime is a good example of how you can actually, if you wouldn't be able to make a horror movie out of this if you did the whole thing. You'd have to cut it in like half. And then that'd be a pretty good horror movie. But as we see in the pastimes of the devotees of the Lord, that a lot of times there's a horror movie and then there's a good ending because the devotee goes back to Godhead. So it's like bad things happen to good people. This is quite a common thread in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, look at the Pandavas. You know, who could wish to be a Pandava if, you know, You only were able to go halfway through that movie. I mean, they suffered like anything. Their father died when they were young. Then they went to the palace, and their 100 cousins all ganged up against him. It's 100 against 5. Talking about odds. You know, how are you going to survive that one? And they plotted one murder mystery after another to try to kill you. Now, what more difficult situation can you imagine than that? And then you survive everything, and then they cheat you in a gambling match, and you have to go for 12 years in the forest, and then after that you got to go 1 year without them finding out where you are, and if they do, you got to go back to the forest for another 12 years and another 1 year incognito. So does anyone wish that for his best friend? You wouldn't even wish that for your worst enemy. So, to make, if you want to make progress in spiritual life, you have to be prepared to take birth in such a situation where you go through struggles. And actually, we see devotees struggle a lot. And Krishna even says that he's merciful. He shows his mercy to his devotees when he gets them to struggle. So what kind of loving God is that? You know, it's like a loving God that causes misery to you. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, it's described that what is the mode of happiness and the mode of goodness? Happiness in the mode of goodness is first there's distress. First you gotta suffer, and then in the end you get to enjoy. Okay? So what kind of a spiritual literature is the Bhagavad Gita that says, you know, God, you gotta suffer and then you get to enjoy, you know? So we are in such a situation in the material world, where you suffer, and if you take up spiritual life, you get to enjoy. You might be able to enjoy a little bit also if you worship the demigods. But it's limited and temporary, so ultimately that's misery also. And this is one of the pastimes here, King Chitraketu, where we can, you know, make a good movie, horror movie out of it and show it on Halloween, and it would probably, you'd probably make a lot of money. Any movie producers here? I think there's one movie producer here in Mayapur. His name's Mukunda. I heard he's a movie producer. You know, there's, now I get half the profits from this because it comes from my idea. There's some other good movies. I'm sure we can all think of some good themes. What about the story of Prahlad Maharaj? I mean, if you want to scare some people, just dress up as Lord Nisringadev. And if you want to make a movie to scare people, you can just do the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nisringadev. That would be pretty good. All right, I get half the credits for that one too. So, here we are in the material world. And if any of us had any idea of what was around the bend, you know, like you're driving a car, just like when I was a kid. My father taught me how to drive when I was like 12. He was a petroleum geologist. You know these demons that suck the oil out of the earth? Well, my father was the one who's somehow or other, believe me, I didn't follow him in his footsteps, in his occupation. Somehow or other, they get some idea that this place on this earth, if you drill right here, and you, there's a good chance you're going to get oil. And so then that the oil companies would hire my father and to find out where the best place to drill was. And if they discovered oil, then he would get a percentage like that. He'd get a commission. So I was, and they were usually in some country, you know, and he would have me driving his, he taught me how to drive on these dirt roads in places like Wyoming, and it's always flat land, boring. And he'd have me drive. There was a Volkswagen, it was a stick shift. I got pretty good when I was like 12, 13, 14. So by the time I was 16 and I got my, was legally able to drive, I had some experience. So one time I was driving, and there was a curve up ahead. And I told my father, I said, you know, Dad, I'm going to pretend that there's another car coming around that corner up there. And it's going really fast and really reckless. So I'm going to pretend there's another car up ahead. And I'm going to be really, really careful and go around it on the very inside edge. And so if that car comes around, it'll miss us. Sure enough, I went around that corner like playing my pretend game as a kid, you know, a kid 12 years old driving a car, you know, how stupid is that, you know? Anyway, my father let me do it for some reason. And sure enough, right at that second, a car came rolling around that curve, you know, taking up like, you know, 3/4 of the road. And luckily, I was in a Volkswagen, which was very small. And luckily, I was playing a game and pretending that a car was going to come by. So, if I hadn't done that, I can practically guarantee that I wouldn't be around in this body here right now. And either, well, my father's already left his body, but he wouldn't have lived to be 77. He probably would have lived to be like 35. Okay? A lot of things can happen in this world. And if you had any idea what was going to happen to you, you'd probably die of fright. I mean, how about you ladies? If you had any idea how you would look, you know, 50 years from now, say you're 20, you'd probably die of fright. Okay? And any guys in here like to go to the gym and lift weights, and you know, sometimes you even put oil on your skin and that makes you look really good, you know. There was one very famous personality in America. His name was Johnny Weissmuller. Does anyone know who he was? You have to be pretty old like me to know. Who knows who he was? Any hands? Yeah, you know, you're old. But I'm older than you. You know who he was. You're pretty old too. All right. He played Tarzan. Okay. In America. And before he played Tarzan, he was an Olympic swimmer. I think he was a gold medalist in the Olympics in like, I don't know, maybe in the 30s or 40s or maybe even the 50s. I'm not sure. Real hefty guy, you know. Pectoral muscles, and I don't know all the different muscles they have because I never had any, so I never knew, I learned the names. And he was really a handsome, strong, made a lot of money, everything. But do you know what happened to him? He ended up in a wheelchair, living in Mexico, and all his muscles turned to fat. And I think he got Alzheimer's or something like that. I mean, just talk about his life, a horror movie. So all of us have a horror movie, our lives, unless we take to devotional service. If we take to devotional service, you still have to go through the horror movie. But then, you take to devotional service and you learn your lesson. And you've experienced so many terrible things in this world. And you say, you know something? I don't want to come back to this place. This is like a what? You know, it's like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said it very mildly, no fit place for a gentleman. So, you know, gentlemen, they don't like to watch horror movies. And they don't get pleasure from being afraid. They don't get pleasure from having to suffer. They don't get pleasure from getting old and ugly. And, you know, 50 years ago, you're the most beautiful thing in the world. And they don't get pleasure from being big and strong and handsome and having a lot of money. And then, you know, ending up weak and old and ugly, and, you know, the hospitals and the pharmaceutical companies take all your money and you end up poor. They, you know, no gentleman, you know, to take pleasure from that. But regardless if you're a man or a woman or a cat or a dog or whatever species of life you happen to take birth of in this material world, it's a horror show. And it behooves us to, you know, learn a lesson. Now, this is where the magic of devotional service comes in. Because if you don't practice devotional service, the illusory energy forces you to think that I have never experienced any pleasure in this world yet, but if I make a I have a good plan, and it is just around the corner, pleasure, I'm going to be really happening, and I'm going to be really satisfied somehow or other. All these different types of plans. So as the saying goes, you want to make Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. Just tell him your plans for future happiness in the material world. And Krishna, that will turn from a horror show to a comedy. And the joke's on you. Because it just, and to put it bluntly in American slang English, we don't know how to speak English very well in America. We have to go to England to do that. It ain't gonna happen. You're not going to get any pleasure in this material world. It's just an impossibility. It's like, you know, saying you're going to enjoy your life in a jail. And then you're in a jail with thick, thick walls. And in that jail is another jail. And you're inside of that. And, I mean, birth, death, old age, and disease is just not a happening place. And guess what? You get to do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's like when I joined Krishna consciousness, you know, umpteen million years ago, I was walking up the road to the farm on the big island of Hawaii. And it was May 8th. 1975, and I had just come from a hippie commune. So it was, in those days it was called New Agey, I guess you'd say it, but it's not New Agey anymore to be coming from a hippie background. You got to be about my age, and I was at the lower end of it. The hippies were almost dead when I they had become yuppies almost, you know. They started working in Wall Street instead of hanging out naked in some forest in Hawaii. So I was thinking, okay, it's May 8th. And what do you do when you put the 8 sideways? What does it mean? Yeah, you're smart. You must have gone to college. It means infinity. So I was thinking, I'm going to infinity. I'm going to the Hare Krishna temple. I didn't know much about it. I was kicked out of the hippie commune I was in because, you know, anyway, I won't give you that story. That's not a good enough horror show for you. We'll probably put everyone to sleep. But anyway, and I went up and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to eternity. And it was true. And that's where the movie in my life the horror movie stopped. Although, I did go through, actually it was in the middle of it, because when you take up devotional service and you're as neophyte as I am, you got to go through the school of hard knocks. And you know, I won't be so graphic in describing it to everybody, you know, what I've been through in ISKCON. But I'll let you know one thing. It's gotten a lot better. You think, everyone thinks, oh boy, I wish I was there, you know, in the old days. You know, I mean, we did get to see Srila Prabhupada periodically. He came 2 weeks after I joined to the Big Island. That was, you know, enlivening and everything like that. And, you know, we got to see him once a year in Hawaii. He spent about a month every year in Hawaii. He liked Hawaii. But in between those times, it was hard. Why? Because we had sangskaras. We had baggage coming from our previous experiences, being brought up in this horrible place called America. Now, I'm letting everybody know it is a horrible place, but somehow or other, there's all these IT people lining up and just hankering to come to America and get a good job. And they're from all places, from India. So now, if you want to get voted in as a, you know, a congressman or a mayor, or you better cater to the Indian community, because there's a lot of them there. You know, people, if they want to enjoy materially, they think they should go to America. But they don't realize, you try to enjoy first, you suffer later. Because it develops attachment. There's this one Indian man, he came to America many, many years ago. And he was a childhood friend of another Indian man that I know. And so this Indian, he became a devotee, the friend of this other Indian man. And he went to his house. And his house was in California. And his house was in the city of Los Angeles in California. And in the city of California, he was in Beverly Hills. So what does this mean? He was very, very successful, because you got to have a lot of money to have a house in Beverly Hills. All right? So he went there, and guess what? A horror movie was going on in his family. He was there in the evening time, and he was talking with his friend, and all of a sudden, coming down the stairs, the plush stairs, you know, rich people have kind of attractive stairways, by the way. And it was a very beautiful stairway, but his daughter made that stairway look like a plain Jane, so to speak. And she was gorgeous. And all of a sudden, there was a ring on the doorbell. And guess who answered the door? Okay, I'm not going to be racial here. I have nothing against any races. We have probably all the races here. But, okay, especially you, you're from Africa, okay? He was a black American. And this Indian guy was, it was like, and his daughter went out in the dead of night, and she's dressed to kill, and she's extremely beautiful with an African-American male, okay? And I know you're a pure devotee, okay? But this guy wasn't a pure devotee. And it doesn't really matter what race you are. But if, you know, you're full of lust and you're out to exploit the opposite sex, you know, it really doesn't matter what color skin you have and what country you're born in, what family you're from. But this man's from India, and he had culture. But guess what? He brought up his kids in America, and they got influenced by their association. Just like Chinduketu's wives, co-wives, they got all influenced. Maybe just one of them out of, there's a million wives or something, is that what, anyway. And just one of them, and then by her association, they all got contaminated. Just like by the association of the maidservant, Kaikeyi got contaminated and banished Ram to the forest of all, you know, and he's like the most popular personality in the kingdom, and she dared to do that. This is the power of association. And we have to understand that if we associate with the three modes of material nature, we will be affected. We will think that we can get some happiness in this material world. And we will think that although you're very beautiful now, and you'll keep that beauty and you'll never lose it. And you go through so much endeavor to make yourself beautiful, and guess what? That endeavor increases and increases because by nature, you get ugly. And you know, one of the most pathetic things, it's so common in America, the most ugly old ladies, they still paint their faces to try to make themselves look beautiful. They dye their hair, they go to the gym and exercise, they do so many things because that is all they know. They're in such illusion. So that's what we're in for in this material world. It's called a rude awakening in American English. I don't know if they have that type of English in England. It's a rude awakening. And I'm very fortunate, and all of us are very fortunate, to have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada and the Holy Name and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For if we actually take shelter of, you know, the Holy Name and the pure devotee, and then you get old and you're happy about it. You're no longer a commodity in the marketplace of the man-woman scenario that's going on even in ISKCON today. You know, there's all, you know, if you just go to the Kirtan Mela, it is thick. And the young girls, they're up front. And the handsome kirtaniers, they're singing, and the girls are going crazy. They want to marry him. All right? So, just, you know, wait some time, and we all get to old age sooner or later. I was 19 when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. You know? Actually, you know something, I don't think I was really that handsome. I was the runt of my mother's litter, tell you the truth. But I learned how to make a lot of money. So that's actually more attractive to the women than, isn't that true? Than someone who is handsome. Like, there's a joke in America. You know what an artist is that doesn't have a rich girlfriend? Homeless. So you may be a talented singer, and you go to the Kirtan Mela and you get a lot of attention, and they're like, but you don't know how to make money. If someone falls head over heels for you, they're in that's a horror story for a woman to be poor. And, living in poverty, that's like a real difficulty. And she's not so attracted to her husband anymore if she can't provide for him. And she can't give him a nice apartment. And if you're poor, the more kids you have, the poorer you get. So, that's a horror story, having lots of kids too, if you don't have any money. So, anyway, I learned how to do book distribution, and, when I got married, we got to keep a percentage of our collection. So then I got to go out and do a devotional service in the mode of passion. How about that? Not such a good idea. I got a horror story to tell you. The girl that tackled me, she later dumped me. Okay? She was head over heels for me. I was like trying to be a brahmachari. Being born in America and being a brahmachari with the sanskaras I had, good luck. You know how many brahmacharis from my generation lasted? What percentage? Maybe 0.5%, something like that. I mean, Janani Vas and Pankajangri, they're like, a rare breed. Someone who, lasts. Being brought up in the West as a brahmachari, you're like a real, commodity in the marketplace of Lord Chaitanya's movement, a rare personality. So this is what we're up against if we decide to take birth again in the material world, because it is quite difficult to take up spiritual life in a young body. And handsome, strong, and you can make a lot of money, and you can become famous. All the different opulences. The more opulences you have, the harder it gets. So, just consider yourself fortunate if you've gone through the school of hard knocks and you've learned, you've chanted your holy names every day, day in and day out, and then your hair turns gray and you no longer care to look at yourself in the mirror anymore. You're not handsome or beautiful anymore, and you're fine with that. And you've actually now can cry to the holy name, because you realize there's no future for you in this material world and you want to get out of here. This is the mode of goodness. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the mode of goodness, devotional service, is you're sick and tired of this place and you want out. That's the mode of goodness. So if you properly practice spiritual life in this lifetime, there is a light at the end of the deep, dark tunnel of the material world, and it's a dark place. It's so dark that the people here are thinking they're going to get pleasure, and there has never been a history in the history of this universe or any other universe of anyone ever getting out of here alive. Death is sure and certain for everyone, and what's more horrible and ugly than a dead body? Doesn't matter how beautiful or strong they used to be, the dead body that we are all destined to
leave
is not a very, you know, attractive place. Has anyone ever been to Jagannath Puri, and right in the middle of the city there's a burning ghat? It's amazing. You go there, and from the distance you see all these fires. And then you get a little closer, and because in India they don't like to, you know, they generally don't like to spend so much money. You know, they only give enough wood to cover the torso. The legs are sticking out of the fire. You go there and you get up close, and there's all these fires, and there's two legs sticking out of the fire. And as soon as the legs fall off, then someone, you know, he has a real good job. Sometimes I tell my son, you know, do you want to get a good job? Do you want to be the guy on the bus that in India that takes the money from the people? You know, or do you want to go to Jagannath Puri and be the guy that, you know, throws the legs that fall off, you know, and back into the fire? You know, there's a lot of opportunity. This is the land of opportunity here, India. There's a lot of jobs here, you know, and, you know, there's different varieties of jobs, and, you know, you can, you know. So anyway, there's no, it's actually all jobs in the material world are not very attractive if you really get into the nitty-gritty of it. Okay, I think I've gone a little over time. Was that a good enough horror story for you? Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Well, you know when you feel like you've given a good class? Is that, you know, I've made a lot of notes here and I never even looked at them. You know why? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to get up here and I'm on national television and I'm in front of, like, you know, 100 devotees, and it's like a Halloween horror story, because I'm afraid when I'm preparing for class that I'm not going to be able to say anything. So I feel I did okay if I didn't look at my notes. I didn't even look at my notes today. And you know what it is? I can be proud and think, ah, I did a good job, right? But that means, if you think you did a good job by your own merit, that means you're proud. And guess what's going to happen to you next time? You're going to fall flat on your face in front of everybody, and you're going to suffer like anything. It's all because of you that I was able to say something today. Because just like in the Bhagavatam, it's because all the sages were attentive and wanting to hear. Krishna, in the heart of Sutta Goswami, empowered him to speak. So all the credit goes to you. I take no credit. Okay? Now, who has a question?
I was just going to ask, I heard about death. I heard Prabhupada may have said that death is like being stung by a thousand scorpions or something. And the pain of that is so strong that it forces the soul out of the body. So I would imagine that death is also excruciating, painful, like birth or giving birth, you know. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, most ladies by the time they're, you know, 25, they've experienced giving birth, you know. You want another horror story? Another bad movie? But somehow or other, they do it again. This is the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay?
And is death like that, then? Very painful?
Excuse me? Are you from South America?
No, I'm from Ireland, Irish.
Oh, you're Irish. You know, in America, we think we're the only ones that know how to speak English, but I guess that you guys know how to speak better than we do, because everyone else in the world thinks you do. You know, everyone, you know, the Americans, you know, they think they're the greatest, but everyone hates them. Everywhere.
Not the Irish. Have some connection.
Everywhere. I mean, come on, you go all over the world, and if you're from America, you're like, hey, God, I don't even want to talk to you. You're so proud. You're so puffed up. You think you're like the watchdog of the world. You got a good army, and you think that you can push everybody around, and you know everything, and your system of government is right. And if you don't think that, you know, that our system of government is the way to go, then we're going to kill you. That's America. And we're, you know, in a, if you go traveling around the world and you're an American body, you're in a very hazardous condition. So I couldn't understand you very well. Can you translate for me?
Is death as painful as birth or giving birth?
You know something? If you pass out, there's a threshold of amount of pain that you can go through within this body. So if it gets to the point where you go unconscious, that is the amount of pain that you can experience, okay?
More painful than giving birth.
Well, if you pass out, if you're giving birth, or if you go unconscious when you're dying, it's about the same. Okay?
Let's hope.
Is that a good answer? Okay. Is everyone happy with it? That's all I know, because although I've experienced giving birth, obviously, right? Obviously, because we see through the eyes of Shastra. You know, if someone is an illusion as I am, they've definitely been and they're in a male body, they've probably been a woman in their previous life. That's why I have a man body, because I was a woman and I was attached to a man. Or if you're a woman, you were a man in your previous life. There's a good chance of that. So, yeah, anyway, how much pain is birth, giving birth, and how much pain is death? If you engage it, the point is when you engage in devotional service, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayodita Dhyana Yasubaragam Dhyanam Sayada Haitukam. It's a byproduct. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was on his deathbed and the doctor said any ordinary man, just by touching Srila Prabhupada's skin, an ordinary man would screech in agony because all the nerve endings were exposed because he was so skinny, had no muscle. All right? But Prabhupada, he maintained his composure because he engaged in devotional service. Well, he's eternally engaged in devotional service. So the point is not what is more painful, giving birth or taking birth or death. The point is engage in devotional service and you will become detached. And although you will be going through it, you will be watching it and not identifying with the movie. And it's not easy not identifying with a good movie. Like a good horror show, oh my God. It's just like, okay, you can be telling yourself, okay, this is a movie, these are all actors on there, and this isn't really happening, but still you're afraid because it is so good. This material world is a real good Hollywood set. You can even be telling yourself that it's a set, but still you're going to suffer and you're going to be afraid if you haven't engaged in devotional service. Okay? Everyone has my permission to leave if you want. No, don't want to see the end of this movie. All right, because it's 9 o'clock. No offense. Any questions? Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Could you complete that story of Beverly Hills? What happened to that family?
What happened? Oh, that family. Okay. He was so telling my friend, who's a devotee, that this is just like, it's been like a nightmare for me to move to an America, because look what has happened to my children. Here he's from a cultured family, and then he makes it big. First of all, he gets to America, which is like the goal of everyone from every country in the whole planet Earth. You know, if you make it to America, then you've really done well. And then if you get to America and you become rich and live in Beverly Hills, then you've really been successful. So there's no success story in the material world. I don't know any what happened after that to that guy, you know, and what happened to the girl. It's who, anyway, birth, death, old age, and disease guaranteed. Okay? Any other? Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Now, here's a Mataji. She can look in the mirror, and she's not freaking out. Although, you know, she's, you know, still reasonably good-looking, but she's getting up in years. And she's not as pretty as she used to be. And she was one of our the biggest book distributors in Europe. Very, you know. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Just some good news about Halloween in America.
Here's another accent. You know, the German accent and the Irish accent. You know, us guys from America, we think that we know are the only ones that know how to speak. And we don't understand anybody else. Okay, get ready to translate. Okay, go ahead.
Just some good news about Halloween in America. Yesterday evening, I listened to a class in LA. It's a Srimad Bhagavatam class because it's morning there. And the devotees, they go out on Harinam and engage the people there dressed up in offering ghee lamps to Damodar. I thought that's very beautiful.
Hare Krishna. Translation?
Some good news about Halloween in America.
Uh-huh.
She listened to a class in L.A. and the devotees were going out on Halloween and engaging all the people in costumes offering lamps to Damodar.
Wow, that's far out. You know what one of the favorite costumes of in America in Halloween? Hare Krishna. Okay, any other questions, comments? Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gaur Premanandi. Yeah, you can have a garland.